Merry Christmas! And how are you?
Blessed.
Yeah, we are blessed on this most holy of nights. It used to be, and it still is, Midnight Mass is my favorite Mass of the year. But as I'm getting older, I have to take naps before I can come to say Mass. So I had to take a nap with the dogs, and then I woke up and I go, okay, here, get going here. But as we focus on Christmas and what's happening, Jesus came and he did three things for us, many more. But the three things I'm going to focus on tonight is that the first thing Jesus did is he came to save us, right? We hear in the gospel, a Savior is born for you. That the reason Jesus came was to save you, to save me. I don't know about you, but I need a Savior. You know, the more I live my life, the older I get, the more I know I need a Savior. That I need someone to save me, from my sins. And I got a lot of them, as you all know. But I need a Savior. And Jesus came to save me, and he came to save you. And so one of those things that should just make us so grateful that someone else paid for my sins, that someone else saved me from me. And that's what Jesus was born for, was to save us. A Savior will be born for you. And then he came to prove that the Father loves us. You know, the one who started this whole gift-giving thing was God the Father. God the Father gave us a gift of his Son. And it says, again, in John 3:16, as you all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And think about it. When God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that anyone who believes in him may not die but have everlasting life. And then it says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Again, that this is the God of love who comes to save us. And until you've come to experience the love of God, I mean to experience it. You know, on my radio show and different things, and I'm talking to people, my biggest thing is that most people have not experienced it. You know, sometimes when they finally come to a conversion, instead of focusing on how much God loves them, they're constantly focused on their own sinfulness and how bad they are and how I'm never going to get it right and how I'm such a sinner. And I just want to sit there and shake them sometimes and say, excuse me, you're a sinner. We got it. I'm a sinner. Everybody knows it. But we're loved sinners. Loved. Met where we are. That's why that piece of paper you got when you came in here, it's what he says. God came and loves you where you are, as you are. But he loves you too much to leave you there. He's constantly calling us to grow, to become the men and women that he died for. And so that leads us to the final thing that Jesus came to do for us. That Jesus came to save us, he came to love us, and he came just to be with us. You know, I think the greatest sickness today, it's a spiritual sickness, but it's loneliness. People constantly are filled with loneliness. And it's not that they're alone. They can be in the middle of a crowd and be lonely. You know, people go in there on Facebook and they have friends. Ooh. You know, on my Facebook, on my private page, I have 5,000 friends. 5,000. I don't know any of them. Maybe about 100, if that many. Don't know anybody else. They're all on there. Oh, Father, I got 5,000 friends. No, he doesn't. I haven't a clue who these people are. I'm sure they're very nice people. But the reality is, Facebook and all this social media does not give us more friends and does not take away our loneliness. The only one that's going to take away your loneliness is someone who loves you as you are, that knows all your sinfulness. Because most people don't really know us. They know the mass that we show them. Jesus knows us, and he loves us. And he says, I call you my friends. That Jesus comes and gets into our skin and walks with us. So in the middle of the night, if you wake up, you're not alone. When you're in prayer, you're not alone. You come to know that God will always be the one who's always stands by you. So our God was born for us, to save us, to love us, and to be with us, that Emmanuel. And so he gives us the great gift. But you know, every Christmas is about a gift exchange. If you only have people that are around you and all they do is receive gifts and they never give you anything, then you think, what the heck's with this person? They don't get what Christmas is about. It's a gift exchange, huh? Now, for me, this year, I actually counted all the gifts I gave as 249 gifts. And out of those 249 gifts, I sat there and wrapped about 198 of them myself. I didn't have someone else. I don't have my staff that wrap my private gifts. They don't even wrap the staff's gifts. But I usually get them at least three, and I think about what they can do and what would they like, and, you know, and I'm always online trying to figure out something for all these people. You know, and so this is the first year I got everything done a week ago. Every gift was wrapped. It's the first time. Usually I'm crying, literally, tomorrow morning wrapping the gifts for my family. But it's all done. It's very nice. But the reality is that it's an exchange of gifts. So Jesus gave us the greatest gift he could give us. But now it's his birthday, and so he sits there and kind of looks at you and me and says, okay, what you bring me? Now, again, today after communion, we'll do as we always do. We'll give our life to Christ. That's what we do. We commit or recommit our life to Jesus. That's the gift. But it isn't enough, right? If I went home tomorrow and I said to my family, hey, you know what my gift is to you people this year? It's me. I don't think they'd be impressed. I think they'd say, we got shortchanged this year. And if the only thing we do to Jesus this year and say, hey, guess what your gift is, Jesus? It's me. He'll go, oh, promises, promises, isn't this great? He wants something. Something. So this is what I'm going to do tonight after we do that. As always, we'll kneel down, and those who want, we'll commit or recommit our life to Jesus. And then right after I say, I give you my life forever. And then I'm going to say, and this year, Jesus, I give you the gift of. And then I'm going to be silent. You need to fill in the blank. What is the gift that you will give him this Christmas? And it can be something as very simple as, Lord, I promise you this year, my gift to you is I will spend more time with you. And don't sit there and say just more time, because that doesn't ever cut it. I promise you 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, whatever it is. This year, Lord, I'm going to take a holy hour. I'm going to do that extra hour. That'll be my gift to you. I'm going to take a holy hour. Or this year, Jesus, I'm not going to miss a Mass on Sunday. That'll be my gift to you, because I know you want me to be with you. This will be my gift to you. Or it could be dealing with our sinfulness. This year, Lord, I'm going to stop gossiping. I'm going to really deal with this. This is my gift to you. Or this year, Lord, I'm going to really sit there and deal with my anger. This is my gift to you. So whatever it is, I want you to think about from now until after communion. What is it that you will give to Jesus on his birthday this year? And you can't take it back. You have to give him a gift. Each one of us will give something different, I would imagine. But it's a personal gift. Jesus will hear it and he'll receive it. Remember my favorite of all, you know what my favorite Christmas program is? I used to make the kids watch it every year. The Little Drummer Boy. I remember that one. And then the Little Drummer Boy, you know, everybody's bringing a gift. He had no gift, so what he does? He drums. He gave him that gift, and that was the gift that was accepted. So tonight, there is no getting out of this. What gift will you give to Jesus this Christmas? He's given you many. All you have to give him is one. Merry Christmas. May you know his love today and forever. Amen.